Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Ontex third quarter 2016 trading update conference call. This call is being recorded. Today's call will be hosted by Jacques Tournot, Chief Financial Officer. Following the presentation, an interactive Q&A session will be available. Copies of today's announcements and presentations are available on www.ontexglobal.com. I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor statements apply to this presentation and to the subsequent Q&A session. I would now like to hand the call over to Jacques Tournot. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. So, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Many thanks for attending our Q3 16 financial review. Before getting into the presentation and the slides, I'd like first to comment on the market environment, which is the context we use to evaluate our results. You have no doubt seen from many consumer company results that there has been a clear slowing down of markets in Q3, leading to lowered expectations of market growth for the second half of 2016. More specifically, to our categories, part of this slowdown is due to increased promotional activities led by international brands, which is evident in most of our markets. Also, currencies which had devalued versus the euro during 2015 have stabilized or even strengthened compared to last year. In those markets, 2015 pricing increases, which contributed to growth until early this year, have essentially rolled off, and pricing has even come down in places like Russia, where the ruble has strengthened. Importantly, in light of aggressive pricing by international brands, the share of retailer brands in all categories in Western Europe and Russia has stabilized compared to prior year. So, this being said and being setting a little bit the scene, I'd like to move into slide number 5, where we have the quarter 3 16 highlights. We recorded revenue of 510 million, up 22.7, including Groupama B. This is 0.1% on a like-for-like basis increase, a slight improvement compared to Q2. Pro forma revenue, which includes Groupama B for 2015 and 2016, would have been plus 1.2% at constant currency, confirming the benefits of diversification and increasing our exposure to faster-growing markets. We're pleased to see an adjusted EBITDA increase of 23.7% to 63.2 million in quarter three, and this including Mabe. Our deep-rooted culture of making efficiency gains continued to deliver, while we made good progress on capturing Mabe deal synergies, even slightly ahead of our plan. Forex remained a negative impact on adjusted EBITDA with minus 7.2 million and minus 35 million year to date. Adjusted EBITDA margin of 12.4% in the quarter was slightly higher year on year. On the net debt, we see that at end of September, it was 691 million and our leverage 2.95, which is in line with last quarter and well within our comfort zone. Important to mention that this includes 94.2 million of acquisition-related earnouts, which are conditional on future EBITDA targets being achieved. So if we now move on the next element of net debt, what we can say is our working capital and CapEx are in line with our guidance. Working capital is below 12%, and our full-year CapEx is expected to be between 3.5% and 4% of sales. By the way, for those who could ask a question, the movement in our net debt comes mainly from CapEx and working capital change during the quarter. Now moving on slide number 7. So what we can say, as you see in the title of the slides, we think we're navigating well in a challenging environment. As mentioned previously, the trading environment in Q3 remained challenging, with our division working hard to drive volumes as pricing has come under pressure. We had higher volumes in 4 out of our 5 divisions. However, pricing pressure continued in mature market retail, which partly reflects the promotional campaign by international brands, as earlier mentioned. Our top line was also impacted by strong Forex headwinds, as you can see on the sales bridge on the right of the slides. Overall, top line performance was driven by volume growth in developing markets, which confirms our ambition to keep growing outside of Western Europe. So we can now move into the details per division, and on slide 7, we have our mature market retail division. So starting with this division, which is our largest division with 42% of group revenue. By the way, 42 in Q3 16 versus 54 in Q3 15. Why? Because we had, in the meantime, Mabe acquisition. Market conditions have not improved. However, sequentially, our performance has improved compared to the last 2 quarters. Promotional pricing by international brand was one of the main drivers which led the baby care category down at market level. Western Europe retailer brand share was maintained according to the market data. We have highlighted the past quarters that our 2016 revenue is particularly impacted by contracts that we lost in 2015. Revenue in the mature market retail division in quarter 3 was 4.4 lower than the same period last year on a like-for-like basis. And if we go a little bit more in detail, we see that Poland and Germany both had higher revenue, whilst the UK and France continues to be lower. There was a negative currency impact, largely due to British pound, you know, also after Brexit, and Polish zloty. We continue to work towards improving the division performance each quarter, and quarter 3 showed further progress. Our position of supporting the growth of our customers and being disciplined on pricing remains intact. If we move now to the Americas retail division, what do we see? We had a solid volume-led growth at constant currency, obviously. This division was created, you remember, following the Mabe acquisition, and it represents 19% of group revenue in quarter 3. We have continued to integrate the business. The realization of synergies is slightly ahead of expectation, supporting profitability. In Mexico, the biggest market in this division, growth of our branded portfolio was solid, and we saw market share gains. However, divisional revenue was impacted by lower sales in the U.S., which faced a high comp from last year, and this is also going to be the case in Q4. So Q3, Q4 last year in U.S. were very, very high. Pro forma quarter 3 2016 revenue, including Mabe for 2015 and 16, was up at constant currency, but down 3.6 on a reported basis due to the Mexican pesos. Year-to-date 2016 revenue for Americas retail, which covers in fact 7 months period between March and September, was $230 million. We are very pleased to have Mabe in the Ontex family, and their performance has confirmed our assumption at the time of the acquisition. If we now move to gross market, it's on slide number 10. We see that we posted a good 12.4% like-for-like growth, double digit, for this quarter. Remember that this is on top of a 62% like-for-like growth last year for the third quarter. So you see, making a 12.4 on a 62% last year is really remarkable. We continue to outpace market growth in the region, with volume higher in Russia as well as other Central Eastern European countries, which is also quite remarkable. However, there is more price competition as last year price increase rolled off, but also more promotional activity. We monitor the situation closely and act as necessary to ensure further progress in the position we have been building in the region. Retailer brand shares in Russia, in particular, have remained stable and impact of the pricing increases implemented last year have decreased. As the Russian ruble has strengthened, the negative forex impact has strongly decreased, as seen by the reported revenue up 10% for the quarter, which is only slightly below the like-for-like of 12.4. Moving now to Middle East, North Africa. So it's on slide 11. As you know, MENA is another growth engine for Ontex. We also had a double-digit growth, almost 11% on a like-for-like basis for the quarter. Unfortunately, currencies brought the reported result down by about 4%, which means we have a 7% growth year-on-year reported. This is a very good performance considering the political and economic situation in Turkey, our largest market in the division, which made it more challenging and obviously continues to be so. Competitive pricing is also sharper, similar to what we are seeing in Western and Eastern Europe. Despite this, we achieve revenue outperformance in many of our markets thanks to higher volume in baby care and inco products, leading to this double-digit growth for the division. Now, healthcare, in on slide number 12. Healthcare represents 21% of the group revenue. Like-for-like revenue was up 0.6% in Q3, ahead of the stable position of the market. Our gain was volume-led, with Germany, Spain, and the UK recording better sales, partly offset by some declines in France and Italy. Our planned regrouping of two production sites in northern of France is proceeding according to plan, with production gradually ramping up until the middle of next year. Now a quick look at our categories. It's on slide 13. You will see that there was consistent trend across all these as we navigate difficult trading conditions. Baby care like-for-like revenue was down 1% in the quarter versus the highest comparable in 2015. Q3 15 had a like-for-like of plus 8.4%. And due to the aforementioned contract losses in our mature retail division, as well as due to pricing, this was an improvement compared to the first 6 months and was helped by higher sales in developing markets. On the adult inco category, revenue was up 1.1% on a like-for-like basis. Like baby care, it had the highest comparable quarter of 15 at plus 6.9% to compare with. This performance in AdultInco come from stable revenue in institutional channels and revenue in retail channel up 4% for the quarter. Finally, fem care, the category revenue was down 5.3%, partly reflecting slower growth in our key markets of Western Europe. I would say this is it for the top line. We're going to have some words about the margins now on slide 14. Our EBITDA margin of 12.4% was up 10 basis points in quarter three 2016. On a nine-month basis, our margin is essentially stable year-on-year, which is encouraging considering that we have absorbed 35 million of negative FX, and we have incorporated Groupama B, which has a dilutive effect. The main factor impacting our margins are the same as earlier this year. Our continued effort to generate efficiencies and savings in our production process is key. Obviously, synergies from our Groupama B acquisition, lower raw materials pricing, mainly for oil-based inputs, when the fluff pulp pricing has slightly come down but stays at very high historical level. Our margins have not been achieved by short-term measures, and that's important to highlight. We have, on the contrary, continued to invest in our sales marketing function and strengthen our commercial approach to drive sales. For Q4 2016, we continue to expect a positive impact from raw material prices. However, we look to the raw material indices, and we anticipate that oil-based raw material costs are going to rise into 2017 compared to this year's level. Some words about net debt and leverage, and it's on the slide 15. Our net debt position at the end of September was 691 million, as I already said, and including 94 million of earn-out from the Groupama B acquisition. This earn-out, by the way, is subject to currency movement as it is denominated in Mexican pesos. Net debt was impacted by increased cash out for CapEx, which tends to be weighted towards the second half of the year, and also, as I already said, by working capital movements. Leverage using last 12-month EBITDA was 2.95 times, including 7 months contribution of EBITDA from Mabe. And basically, it's in line with last quarter and within our comfort zone. We continue to have ample liquidity with 109 million in cash and cash equivalent and 200 million combined still available from our term loan and RCF. Now, I would like to move in page 17 and say some few words on the outlook. First, I hope that this presentation and these brief remarks have given you a good overview of our markets and our performance for the past 3 months. Keeping all this in mind, I'd like to briefly give you some more input for the rest of the year. In terms of top line, we expect that our developing markets and healthcare division will continue to outperform their respective markets, while we keep working to position MMR for future growth. In terms of profitability, we continue to expect to have group-adjusted EBITDA margin for full year 2016 at least in line with last year at 12.4%. This takes into account the integration of Mabe and further synergies from the deal, as well as efficiency gains continuing to come through. Based on current indices, we anticipate all base commodities will continue to be beneficial to cost year-on-year for quarter four. However, early indications, as I said, for 2017 are showing that oil-based raw material prices will rise going into 2017 compared to this year. The currency environment is likely to remain volatile, and with what we see today in the markets, it's a little bit an understatement. We obviously remain focused on generating sustainable, profitable growth, especially with these challenging macro and market conditions. With that, I'd like now to hand the call back to the operator and take your questions. Also, my colleague Thierry Navarre is going to be with me to answer questions you could have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pourneau. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take the first question from Richard Withagen of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the question. I have two questions. First of all, you give the translational currency impact in the quarter, but can you also quantify the transactional headwind from the lower British pound in the third quarter? The second question is, you expect oil-based raw material costs to rise in 2017. And how will this impact the promotional environment, in your view?
So on the FX impact, you know, one thing, we combine both transactional and translation impact. So we do not give information on these two separate. You have seen that what we have given as a negative impact on top line was, we have a negative impact of minus 7.2 on EBITDA for this third quarter. And obviously with what we see these days, we are reviewing and making simulation on what it could mean for us for the future quarter. This is obviously very volatile. Good thing is, as you know, on currencies that we have hedging program in place, which will allow us to soften the movements. We are, for example, because I guess it's in the mind of several of you, we are hedging the Mexican pesos, so it could short-term protect us slightly. But obviously, as you know, hedging is only smoothing out the evolution. One thing to keep in mind for you, it's more financial, but as I said, in our net debt, the earnout we have on the acquisition are in Mexican pesos, so obviously they will also be impacted. They will be lowered, by the way, by the evolution we see on the Mexican pesos these days. So second question, yeah, is it's Thierry who will answer to you.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. So as you mentioned, indeed, and Jacques said it, the all related raw materials, the leading indices that we've got are showing that, you know, there is a rising trend going into next year compared to this year. And overall, by the way, this year has been as a very low level in terms of raw material input costs compared to in previous years. So all the players have kind of benefited from that. Whether, in this was your questions, this will be, I think, an impact on the promotional activity going forward is something which is actually difficult to tell, because I think it's not only that elements of the oil-related raw materials which is really impacting the intensity of the promotional activities. What can be put as investment in order to support the sales in promotion, but it's also on the other side what retailers are deciding in terms of their strategy versus their own competition. So on this one, I don't have any crystal ball. We are monitoring very carefully all the market conditions in a way that we can react accordingly while, you know, maintaining our disciplines on the on our margin side and at the same time supporting our product, whether it's on the retail brands in Western Europe or in outside of Western Europe on the Ontex brand themselves.
All right, thanks for that. Just a quick follow-up perhaps on the first question on the Forex. Do you also hedge the British pound exposure?
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
We will now take our next question from Fernand de Boer of Degroof Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. It's Fernand de Boer, Degroof Petercam. A couple of questions, once from my side. Can you say something about the competitive environment in Mexico? Because I understood that in the third quarter that was a little bit more intense than in the first half of the year. And how is that now? The second one, coming back on the raw material question, actually that you flag this higher raw material cost now, does it mean a little bit that you actually feel that for next year consensus estimates are a little bit too optimistic? The third one is on FemCare, a clear drop in like-for-like growth compared to the previous quarters. Could you say a little bit more what is going on? You said, okay, markets are slowing down, but do you see there more competition? And the last question is, okay, you had a little bit of working capital outflow, if I understand, but should we expect that will reverse in the fourth quarter?
Yeah. So, Fernand, thank you. I will start with the last one, the working capital outflow. In fact, it's one of the key elements of this is a movement in our factoring program. As I said, we have a lot of cash, so we don't need to have this factoring at the same level. So we have reduced our factoring program, which is kind of a, you know, which we could increase again. So no, there is nothing to worry about this working capital movement.
Very good.
Okay. I'll take over on the other three questions, the 3 points on the business. The first one on the Mexican competitive environment. Well, the environment is remaining very, very competitive and tough. You know that we are the number two into the market. And if you remember, we are progressing and continuing to progress now on the latest Nielsen records on market share in the three categories of product in Mexico. So the team is doing a fantastic job over there into a difficult environment as well. But we are progressing. We're progressing in market share. We're progressing in volumes and in value. So there we are very, very happy by the progresses there. And despite the fight back from competition, because when we did the acquisitions, of course, we had like a kind of welcome party for Ontex in the market. But after some gains from the competitions for like a couple of months in a couple of points of market share, we regained them back and now sustainably continuing to build the market over there. So good momentum over there that we are confident we will continue to maintain. On the raw materials, higher raw material costs, well, you know, this will definitely have an impact next year. On the other side, I mean, that's business as usual. As I was saying, we were benefiting from rather low raw materials input costs in 16. There has been years where we've been higher and much higher than was this year, and it's our job to find out within the organizations enough efficiency programs and savings in order to mitigate those ones. And the savings goes not only through the product bill of material itself, but also through the full value chain. So it's working on the supply chains, working with the suppliers, and also with the retailers or customers to look at the full value chain from A to Z.
Maybe Thierry, on this one, if I can add, we have already, as you know, contracts where we have already agreed prices for next year, which are going to mitigate that. We also have quite a few ideas we cannot really, for competitive reasons, share here, which are going to help us also in, let's say, more than mitigating this raw material evolution. Obviously, we were also talking only about some oil-based products. Fluff has been very high this year and could be of help next year. So this is not... We just wanted to be transparent with you and share with you what we see happening, which I guess you can see happening also just by looking in the on the markets and the oil moving. With what's happening these days, it could well be that the oil is going to go down, and then all of a sudden these prices are going to go down for next year. So maybe I hand over to Thierry for the yeah. Femme Care.
So on the Femme Care points, indeed our volumes or business there is nominal like for like. If you remember on this one, we are mainly positioned on Femme Care, which represents approximately 10% of our turnover. We're mainly positioned in Western Europe. The Western Europe market is flat to negative. Actually, in Q3, is on the negative territory. And for us, on the long run, so not only on a quarterly basis, at the moment we are evolving like the market. If you look at the year to date. And this is for us something for the future. The ambition is to outperform the market. We've got some action plans in the logs in order to move into that direction. As you know, this is a category which is underrepresented and which across the world, so outside also Western Europe, it's a growing category that we will need also to capture in order to make our growth momentum more resilient.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Alan van den Berge of KBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having my questions. The first one is to coming back on the Grupo Mabe performance. Could you maybe just remind me how much of the Grupo Mabe sales are done outside of Mexico and in the U.S. in particular. You report 6% pro forma like-for-like at Grupo Mabe. Could you maybe also detail how if in Mexico the like-for-like was higher or lower than this 6% for the Mabe group? And then on the synergies, you say that you're ahead of synergies. Does this imply that the synergy potential is higher than what you were expecting, or just that you are realizing synergies faster than expected? And then the last question regarding your 4-6% medium-term guidance, medium-term growth guidance. Given the performance in 2016, how do you stand compared to this 4-6% range? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Alan.
I'll take the first two. On the Mabe, regarding their profile on sales, we have sales in Mabe. Actually, the big majority is Mexico. About two-thirds is the Mexican market. The rest is outside, and outside is in the in the Latin America as well as in the US. So there the growth that we're experiencing in the like-for-like is across a different territory, but very skewed towards the Mexican one, where we experience a very high and healthy growth like-for-like over there. On the synergies, versus what we expected, actually, it's higher and it's also faster. And if you remember, the synergies that were captured, that were on first top of our list of priorities, were related to procurement and supply chain. So basically, is going back with renegotiating the contract because of the scope change of the combined group. And this has affected us from day one. So that has been really put in place very quickly and more intensified that was foreseen. We also have a second stage of synergies which actually are more commercial driven. Those ones are less impacting on this first day, but are taking the relay of the first phase of the synergies related to procurement and supply chain. And those one will more have an impact going forward in the next 12 to 15 months.
Okay, so should I give some words on this medium-term growth? One thing very important first is that this medium-term is medium-term. It's not yearly. Second, that it's composed of two elements. It's based on a market growth, it's expected market growth, and then some overperformance. Initially, the market growth we had in mind was something like 3 to 4%, where obviously these days we evolution, this is not the case. The markets are growing. When they are growing much lower than these. So, 4 to 6 is obviously to be seen in this perspective. Second, another aspect is that with our growth, if you look more on absolute figures, and you see that 3 years ago we were at 1.3 billion, a 1.3 billion company, and we are moving towards becoming a 2 billion company. And potentially more in the future, thanks to our development outside of Western Europe. So this is still valid and continues. I mean, we are a growth company and this is still there and it's going to continue. Now, we're not mastering the market themselves. So obviously we continue, which for me is a key element of real performance of the company. We continue to outperform our markets, which is critical and shows the performance of the management. So I hope it helps.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Ian Simpson of Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning. A couple of questions from me, if I may. Firstly, it's encouraging to see the beginnings of a recovery in mature market retail. I think consensus is suggesting that division being more or less flat in an organic basis in the fourth quarter. Is that something you feel comfortable with as you look at the trends now? Secondly, the Mexican peso has moved pretty violently in recent hours. You've disclosed that the sort of earnout is peso denominated and you've got some transactional hedging. But I just wondered if you could remind us what currency you funded Marbe in, and whether that debt itself was hedged. So whether or not you've got a sort of debt asset mismatch in Marbe. And then lastly, you say you've already agreed some pricing for the rest for next year. I just wondered if you could let us know very, very roughly what percentage of your portfolio, you've agreed 27 pricing for. Thank you so much.
So let me take the first question regarding MRM. Indeed, if you look at the Q3, there is a sequential improvement in like-for-like performance. Basically, it's mainly related until now to the cycling of the losses that we've had incurred earlier in 15, and that we've kind of finalized the cycling of that. What is not yet factoring in there is the new gains of customers, which are really going to come more later. Because if you remember, you know, before the moment you know that you gain or lose the customers in the retail brands in Western Europe, and the moment it's really impacting your business, it can go up to to a year and a half, right, as such, in order to cycle the full thing. So now we benefit from the fact that we cycle the losses, and then we're looking forward going forward to have also the gains impacting positively. On Q4, everything is going to really depend on the market conditions that we are experiencing right now, because it has been very tough in Q2. We mentioned it at the last release of result. It's actually intensifying in Q3. We see a lot of competitions activities, especially coming from the international brands, which are sustained. And we see the market slowing down in Western Europe overall. And this is the things where, so long that the gains are not still putting acting into the performance or inputting into our performance, the new gains, we are kind of relying on the market performance itself, which may have an impact on the Q4. So we are on the right trend. So what we see into the pipe sees us going into the right direction. Whether, as you said, it's going to be a flat for sure is something we'll monitor very closely, depending on the market environment evolution.
I would say on this one, we clearly see an improvement in our in and out of contracts. And what's happening in the market is delaying the fact that our progress do materialize. So we could see a slight delay in it, but nothing more.
Okay, that's great.
On the Mexican, the Mabe acquisition. So just to remind you, it was funded with an equity increase, so shares, and also by a bank loan, a term loan in euro. Obviously, we also took on board some local debt in Mexican pesos, but they are minimal, and so really it's non-material. What's happening today is we still owe part of the price to the previous owner, because part of the price was there was an upfront payment and then an earnout. And this earnout is in Mexican pesos. So, obviously this is the positive side for us of the Mexican pesos dropping. But honestly, we're not in to do this type of gains. We are there for performance in the business. But this is a positive for us. Then you were asking on 17 pricing. I guess you referred to raw materials and the comment to say that already some contracts are already made in, already agreed for 2017. You know there that we have also, regarding indices, there are some impacts which come from, we have a system of 3 months, indices lagging. What we see there is that obviously when we renegotiated contracts this year, in 16, taking into also account the larger scope of and the fact we got bigger, we took the opportunity to have some midterms element in it. But for competitive reason, you must understand that we cannot really share the details of this type of setup.
That's very helpful. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Guillaume Delma of Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Three questions for me, please. The first one is on your 4-6%, because at the end of July, you were anticipating a return to 4-6% like-for-like sales growth in the second half. So my question is, what happened in August and September that really caught you by surprise, because you ended up delivering pretty much flat organic sales growth. That's a big delta relative to the 4-6% range. My second question is on the promotional activities you are seeing in response of lower commodities, more stable exchange rates in some emerging markets. What's your feel about when we should see some easing in these promotional activities, or have you seen any yet? And my last question is on the incontinence business. Retail sales, they were in double digits, I think, in the first half, or Q2, plus 13%. It has come down to plus 4% in the third quarter. What's the explanation between for this slowdown sequentially? Thank you.
Thank you. Quite a few questions on more commercial aspects. So maybe, Thierry, you can take some. I can.
So in the broader pictures that you mentioned on the 4-6% in H2, what has changed is actually the market has changed rather drastically since the summer. We see that in the data from the monitoring of the market that we are making from third parties' inputs, and this is definitely impacting the market dynamic. And you've seen things like whether it's the price wars in the UK, which is starting over there and spreading also in the north of Europe, in the continental Europe, or in Turkey with the different political environments over there. So this is something which has changed the environment and slowing down the market growth. And this is impacting. And we need to face the reality and reset where we are. This is the underlying trends that we need to surf on. This being said, this does not change at all what our strategy is. Our strategy with our product, which is a non-discretionary product, is to serve our customers the best way with the best offering in product and services, and reduce improve our resilience, across the world by diversifying geographically, but also rebalancing more our portfolios of products, where today we are more skewed toward the baby care. And honestly, the big increase in promotional activity and intensity is on the baby category, essentially. So the work is being done in order to manage the mix from the product categories and also geographically going forward, in order to be positioned in growing categories, in growing geography, much more than we are today. And you see the dependence that we have versus retail brands in Western Europe is going down relatively because of our growth somewhere else. So we are resetting that, but we are not changing our guidance going forward. Remember one thing, all category of product, personal cares, are non-discretionary product. We really, this is people, it's not an impulse product category. I really like a quote of one of the new board member, who is very clear, very simple, but really picture what is our market. And he says, baby do not want nor consider to pee. They just do it, and they don't wait about, or they don't look at the environment, political, economical, the elections, the coup, or whatever. So going forwards, we are in category with our resilience.
Wait, maybe just a small word on this one. You should also keep in mind that reading and having seen all the announcement for many consumer companies, they have come with exactly the same view on the market as we do today. So we are competing in the same markets. And something for me very important, if you look at our developing markets, we are overperforming in these markets, which is, as I was saying, for me, very critical, showing up the performance of Ontex company, whereas some other companies were clearly underperforming in these markets. So again, for me, that's that's a real plus, which shows the performance going forward. And I can only add to what Thierry mentioned that the underlying demographics and underlying quality of our business are still there and there to stay. So this is a blip, but so now.
So taking the next one on the easing of promotional activities, well, I'm not sitting in the shoes of our competitors, so it's difficult to tell. I don't see in the short terms that an easing of it is just continuing. Well, we do not count on an easing going forward, so we're gearing up in order to face these tough market conditions continuing. Again, as I was mentioning at the very beginning, it's not an impulse category. So promotional activity has a limit at the end to drive further growth. When you get an impulse, you get some further volumes when you get a promotion there. On a category like ours, on the long run, does not bring extra consumer on the markets which are flat or decreasing. So that we need to keep in mind. Regarding the continent's growth in retail, we're not looking, and it's the case for all categories, only on the quarter growth. What we see is that we continue to grow in this category. The Q3, yes, is on a single digit, on a mid-single digit, but on top of a like-for-like of a Q3 15 of an increase of 18%. So it's on top of a high comp. So we are confident that this category will continue to grow and that we will continue to overperform these categories in the market. And it's an important one. It's growing in Western Europe, so it's a category which is critical for us.
By the way, as we I see that several of you are coming back on some of the very rather short-term, and I understand the questions, short-term views. Something which is to be kept in mind is, for me, the picture of the evolution of Ontex. As I was saying before, we have moved from a 1.3 billion company into an almost, and moving towards a 2 billion company. We have moved our margins and showed that we have all the elements in the company through our efficiencies and so on, to increase that despite investing importantly in setting up an organization for the future. And we are moving, this is the story, we're moving from an industrial company into an FMCG company. We have increased our branded business scope much ahead of the rest. Which shows that, this quarter and the blips we see in the quarter, the very negative forex we have faced are, I would say, elements in an evolution, but they are only short-term elements. And for me, the message I like really to pass is that we are a growth company. We've shown that, and we continue to grow, going towards a much more international company with a diversified profile and a more and more branded profile. So it's, but again, I fully understand that there are questions which are aimed at helping update some models. So fully with you on this.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Celine Bonnuti of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. My first question is on the growth. I mean, you mentioned the growth of the market before was 3-4. What's the number? You said that it has decelerated. What's the number now? and what if you could give us maybe an overview of what it is in Western Europe and what's the market like in Eastern Europe too. I mean, Russia, as you pointed out, you've still been resilient. What is your take there going forward? My first question. My second question is on the algorithm that you have developed over the years, 4 to 6% growth midterm target, as you said, and as well 30 basis point margin expansion. Now, if the market growth is lower, does it mean that the 30 bips also is harder to achieve, and you see that more as a midterm target than something that you can deliver? Especially I would think next year what you have flagged in terms of increasing pressure on Ramat. And then my last question is, am I right to believe that because of your hedging, the impact on transaction from the lower pound will increase rather in 2017? Thank you.
So I'll take the first one on the growth of the market. Yes, the market is decelerating. Actually, overall, I would say if you kind of looking at it, it's for us, I would say, close to flat. And when you're going to the Western Europe, is is on the negative territory when you look at the quarter. But what we'd like to want to look is on the moving target. We are on the movie, not a picture. So the Q3 itself, yes, it's worse than the Q2. And it's getting in some countries in terms of negative territories there. You were mentioning the Eastern Europe and Russia. We're still in positive territories there, but slowing down drastically. Whereas we are in Russia, for example, in double digit growth still. And it is our ambitions to continue to outperform the market. Remember, we were in the high 20s at some points in those markets. We're still in double-digit territories, but in the more mid-15, but largely overperforming the market over there. So Jack is mentioning it. It's not something that we just experience ourselves. It's what the consumer goods industry players are overall experiencing across Europe and the world.
So talking about maybe the 30 bips, first, the 30 bips is not a quarterly, is not a yearly view, it's a midterm. I would say year in, year out, we have done more, we could do less, so it's the way we see it over time. And obviously, it's also all things being equal in terms of M&A, for example. We until now, we are even ahead of the 30 bips, by the way. We have, and that's important, we have put in place, and that's what we have done till now, we have put in place our system to have projects of efficiencies, to review our procurement, and importantly, we have overachieved on these 30 bips whilst investing in an important manner in our structure, our marketing, our sales, our R&D. So we have achieved that without any operational leverage on the middle of our P&L. Would we have, and obviously FX is very volatile, so it could be that 1 year we would be, it would be more difficult to reach the 30 bips. But again, it's a midterm guidance we had. Yeah, and as I said, what we like to emphasize is the fact that till now we are ahead of it. So, and this year again, we, whilst integrating Mabe, we think we're going to do at least 12.4, same as last year. So, which is for me, when you look, there is a percentage, obviously, but you see the absolute amount, and we're going to achieve this margin on a much larger scope, which means we have brought the new business in line, in total at least, with the previous profitability, which for me is quite remarkable when you see the speed at which we have done it. On the pound, what we do, we obviously hedge. You see the volatility of the currencies today, honestly, I cannot tell you if the pound is going to go up or down with what's going on in the market. What looks like is the Mexican pesos is going down, obviously. But what's going to happen with the US dollar, it can go completely the other way. And if the US dollar goes down, then obviously it's going to help us because we short in US dollar. What I can say about our FX program for and our hedging program is that this year they have been quite positive for us, so they're helping. But again, and that's important as a message, we're not here to trade on currencies. We're here to sell diapers, which means that this potential slightly positive or slightly negative for us, it's not the aim. We hedge in order to smooth out the impact. So that's why I don't want to, you know, to just come up front with positive, positive hedging impact. It's not the purpose.
Yeah, the hedging is actually for us to buy time in order for the operations to structurally look at the necessary action plans to reset the business to the new market conditions. But definitely, as Jacques was mentioning, we're not there to speculate on currency.
By the way, Céline, margins, on the EBITDA margins, let's keep in mind, and I've mentioned it during presentation, that we have absorbed 35 million of negative FX. And despite that, we are delivering, which shows, again, the resilience of our model.
Yeah, just on that front, you mentioned about efficiency. Can you give us some, maybe a bit more color? What is it that you have in the pipe for, you know, the next 12 months in order to activate the efficiency? And especially also in light of a weaker growth market, negative, in fact, in Western Europe, are you thinking that there would be a reason for reduction in capacity or restructuring of your footprint at this stage?
Well, you know, to be clear on the second questions already is that no, you know, we are still on the path to grow. We are having in the pipe, and the visibility that we give in, it says that we are going back to growth and gain market share. So we want to overperform the market, even if the market is slightly positive, slightly negative, sorry. We're going to overperform and get positive. What we are doing, so the impact is not like we need to close a plant in order to get back to maintain our margins. The nice also things of our footprint is that we are also outside of Western Europe. So what we're doing in some periods where the demand is slower than what is expecting, we can move machines around. Moving a machines for us is something which is quite easy. We are used to do that. And you can just shift machines in order to make sure that you put it in the right territories where growth is, while not having to take some very strong structural actions in some countries, which allows you to have also a pretty good optimizations of your capex utilization. Yeah, well, Jack, you want to say something?
Yeah, maybe just to reassure Céline is that we can say that we are investing in an important way in CapEx in new machines in Western Europe. Right? So it's not at all that we have any fear there. It's just the opposite. We are investing in an important way. many machines in the incontinence, for example, which is quite important. You know, we are putting together in France two plants which were a little bit outdated, and we are putting there a brand new plant with brand new equipment, which is, you know, and we do it in France, by the way. So this is really important. And you were asking about efficiency. This new plant with the new equipment we put in it are more efficient equipment, so which is part of the of our answer. Yeah. I'm sure Thierry has got some other ideas.
I mean, these things is a recurring one. It's not new. We've been since the beginning. It's part of our DNA. Looking year on year, it's recurring projects of efficiency improvement out of the systems. And that's why you remember in 2015 there was 30 million of adverse currency. We went through it and delivered our ambitions. 16, after 9 months it's 35, and we still deliver as well. So it's a lot of small project that goes from automatization, for example. Western Europe is very important that we get automatization on the end of the lines. If you go into most of the plants now in Europe and you go at the end of the lines, you got automatic packaging, automatic palletizations, and this is the type of savings that is generated. Other elements are savings in terms of energy. Energy is a rather important categories of cost in our converting costs, and we've got efficiency program in energy savings that allows us also to capitalize on further gains. Then you've got also some savings on products that we are making, and with our partners, suppliers, looking at what's the best raw materials that we could use, which are optimizing the cost of the bill of materials at the end.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no questions at this time. I would like to hand the call back to Mr. Prunaud for any closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you for attending our presentation. Last word, we're confident we move forward with our growth agenda and the transformation of the company. Thank you to all of you. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
This concludes Ontex third quarter 2016 trading update conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.